So, here is the topic for today. Bless you.
La beriut.
The idea of simcha, of joy, is more associated with Sukkot than with any other time in the calendar. Okay, here's just a couple of verses in the Devarim. Chag Sukkot ta'aseh lecha shivat yamim. Festival of Sukkot, you should make for yourselves 7 days. Basvacha migaranecha miyakavecha, time when you gather in all of your year's work, agricultural. V'samachta b'chagecha, and you shall rejoice on this festival. Ata u'banecha v'itcha v'avdecha, v'amatecha, you, the whole family, everybody in your household. Halevi v'hager v'yatom v'almana asher b'sha'arecha. Okay, v'samachta b'chagecha. And that phrase, you shall rejoice in your chag, is then used to expand to other chagim, right? Saying that simcha on all of the chagim is a very significant component, but its origin is with Sukkot. So what we're going to do is really approach this concept of simcha through the Rambam. We're not really going to be looking at anybody else. The Rambam, you all know, one of Judaism's greatest, arguably the greatest of Jewish thinkers over the course of time, and see how the Rambam approaches this idea of simcha, of joy, and its role, you see I've put in the subtitle, in a person's life in general, how much and what is the nature of being joyful in one's life, on Yom Tov, as a significant component of Yom Tov, and specifically on Sukkot. Okay, three parts. What we're going to discover, just to telegraph a little bit our discussion, is that in between these three different sections, the Rambam is going to seemingly have two very different approaches to the role of joy and of simcha in one's life, and the way in which it should manifest in a person's life. Okay? All right. Let's begin. If you know one philosophical thing about the Rambam in terms of what he says a person's character and personality traits should be like, what is it that you know?
You say Shvila Zahav?
Exactly. What is Shvila Zahav?
Golden mean, the middle path.
Golden mean, the middle path, right? This is the Rambam taking almost directly from Aristotle. Okay, this is the classic expression
of
it.
Golden in the middle path?
Yeah, so at what point golden came to mean middle, I'm not sure. It might even be originally in Aristotle, I don't know. But the middle path, the golden path.
I think golden in this context is like kind of the ideal.
No, I got
what,
that.
Sorry?
Being the ideal.
Right, but Ian's
I'm more confused about the middle. Like, what do you mean by middle path?
So let's look at the Rambam. People familiar with Hilchot Deot? Deot is early on, very early on, in Mishneh Torah, in the Rambam's great halachic work. And it's really the Rambam's sort of like, advice column. The Rambam's advice for life, long before you get to speaking about any mitzvot or Judaism or ritual. This is the way in which the Rambam recommends one to live one's life. Haderech ha-yeshira, the true straight path, first source, second source. He midat beinunit is the middle approach. Shebechol de'a v'de'a mikol ha'de'ot. When it comes to any personality trait, sheyesh lo la'adam, that a person confronts, always to choose the middle of the options. V'hi ha'de'a shehi rechokan. This is the de'a, the way of being, which is most distant mishtei ha'katzavot, from the two extremes. I'll elaborate this in a moment, giving specific examples. Richuk shaveh, equally in the middle. Ve'ein akrava lo lezu ve'lo lezu, and it's no nearer to one than it is to the other. Right there, he says that the sage has commanded us to always be in the middle. If you see halfway through the third line, Ketzad, how so? Lo yehei bal chama, person should not be somebody given to anger. Noach likosu is just so easy to send into a fury. On the one hand, that's not the proper way to be. But on the other hand, a person also shouldn't be lokamate, not like somebody who's dead, somebody who things that would offend a normal person just completely pass over them. She'eino malgish, she doesn't feel a single thing. Ela beinuni, should be in the middle.
It's like
story you told as part of your shiur on Yom Kippur night, but we got to...
There you go, right? The Rambam would not agree with Boncha Schweig, with Boncha the Silence way of being in the world. I mean, yeah, he really was kamet, right? As a dead, right? Lo yichos, you should only become angry el al davar gadol, about, you know, a really significant matter, shera'ui lichos alav, which is worth being angry about, which is worth really caring about. Kadei shelo yaseh ki yotze bo pam acher, in order to make sure the matter doesn't occur again. But you shouldn't be somebody who's just so quick to anger the whole time. That's one example. V'chein, lo yitaveh, you shouldn't always be desiring and craving after, elev, except for certain things, tvarim sha'aguf tzarech, and things that your body needs or you have some other need for. Right, that you should desire. Lots of other things you should be able to withhold your desires for. V'yef shah liyot b'zulatan, impossible to cope without them, etc., etc. He also then speaks about how hard one should work for sort of material matters, right? You should work to the extent that you need, but not more than is required, etc., etc. Similarly, how much you give out your money, how much you spend your money. Lo yifazer mamono, you shouldn't like throw away your money or just on any given thing. Ra ten tzedakah kafi masayod, or give charity to the extent one is able to. Malveh, to loan money. Kara'ui lemisha tzarech, as fitting to somebody who needs, but not throwing away all your money. And here's the critical point for us, the second full line from the bottom, halfway through. Belo yehe mehulal v'sochek, to not be mehulal v'sochek. They're phrases that are going to come up again, but they're a little bit different, difficult for me to translate properly here. Mehulal v'sochek, like, want to help me out? Life is one big joke. Life is one big laugh, right? Similarly, that is an extreme which a person should vie away from, on the one hand. But on the other hand, v'lo etzev v'onen. They shouldn't be downtrodden, downcast, sad, or nen, mourning. Rather, what's the middle path between those two? Sameach kol yomav. Happy, joyful all of the days of their life. Benachat, pleasantness. Besevra panim yafot, greeting people with a pleasant countenance, etc. So what, according to the Rambam, is Simcha in this opening piece? Simcha is the middle path between, on the one hand, sort of like an extreme frivolity and sort of like an extreme sense that life is just about having a good time, on the one hand. And on the other hand, not about being overly depressed, downcast, on the other. What is the middle? The middle is Simcha. Interesting, right? And which fits into the Rambam's overall schema of how one's personality should be.
It makes it sound like simcha in this context would be defined more as like contentness than like the way that we would conventionally define it.
I think that's very, very good. Yeah, obviously, literally, the word simcha does not mean contentedness, but that is, I think you're correct to say that's the way in which the Rambam is directed. Happiness. Nachat ruach, right? Not at one extreme or the other.
Chill.
Yeah, maybe today we would say chill. Except chill also implies sort of like a lack of really caring about the things that matter, and obviously Rambam is the opposite of that. He in the next source, don't you read it, he speaks about the dangers of being at the extreme of the other one, of schok, of a kalud rosh, of sort of, you know, this levity, lightheadedness. That's not the sort of thing which, you know, leads to proper behaviour. There's a comment that he's got in his Perush HaMishnayot on Brachot, which takes the discussion in a whole other direction. Well, I think it really deepens this idea. That, you know, until now you could say, well, the Rambam just does to Simcha what he does to every single character trait, which is to place it in the middle away from two extremes. Now he really seems to deepen this. Pinchas, do you want to read the Perush Mishnah?
Sure.
Give me one moment.
Many things seem bad at first, but in the end lead to great good.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Things that at the beginning seem really great, but actually, after a while, turn out very bad.
L'chein, en ra'ui, l'navon, v'hitzta'er, v'vot, tzara g'dolah, v'zerah, harat, sakana. So it's not good to try to, like, kind of predict the future based on what's going on now.
A navon, a discerning person, not about predicting the future, a discerning person shouldn't, litzta'er, shouldn't be pained when some seemingly very terrible thing happens. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Right, don't think this is necessarily going to be for the bad. And vice versa. Carry on. Don't be hugely overjoyed when something seemingly really good happens to you. Don't run around screaming and blow all your money on everything and head off celebrating. Might also turn out not so much for the good.
Right? אם הייתה אותה השמחה בדבר נעלה, כלומר עשיית הטוב ובלישתו.
The only thing to really become celebratory of is, you know, the good in and of itself taking place, right? עשיית הטוב, doing good in this world, עשיית הטוב וישר, doing that which is good and that which is right. That you can truly celebrate over, but just a general advice for life, going both ways, is don't be so downcast when something bad happens to you. Could be for the best. And don't be so humbled by joy and celebration when something apparently good happens. Who knows how it's going to turn out? I mean, this is just, I thinking of this in new light since the last time I read it. Since I haven't read this source since becoming a parent. One of the best pieces of survival advice for the first couple of years that a friend of mine gave to us, who she's got a 4-year-old daughter, is she said that everything is a stage. Right? Your daughter is sleeping terribly and, like, you know, you're just like not getting, you're like, you're really suffering for it. It's all right, it'll pass. It's a stage, right? Sweat it out. It's going really well. She's sleeping through the night, right? You're getting 8 hours. Enjoy it while it lasts, right? Everything's a stage. You know? Which is a very, very interesting idea to apply that to life. Now he finishes off with a very interesting comment. Carry on.
Aval, as Harriet.
Depression, downcastness, pain. So interestingly, the Rambam seems to think that it's much better known the advice from the prophets to not be too downcast, right? Nachamu, nachamu, ami. What people speak about less is to, you know, also, by the same token, to hesitate from being overly celebratory and joyful. So what's the Rambam doing in this? It seems to me, tell me your thoughts, so what the Rambam is doing in this piece is basically deepening the advice he's given previously. Previously it sounded like simcha, just like any other human emotion, should be controlled, should be in the centre. But here he's saying it not just as part of some general theory, but he's saying specifically to, you know, living a decent life is to be, how would you describe it? Hope for the best, prepare for the worst, not overly optimistic, not overly pessimistic, to be pragmatic, right? That seems to be the direction he's pushing. Right, so I mean, Jackie usefully said that he seems to be sort of thinking of simcha more as a sort of contentedness.
That's not the way he's talking
about
it here.
Does he use the word simcha in his case?
Yeah. Simcha seems to be a whole range of things, where it's kind of like simcha rabbah is equivalent to carefree, overjoyed, while regular simcha b'nachas ruach, as he said. So it's like simcha can take on different characteristics based on how it leads you to look at how it affects your outlook on life. As in, if you're happy in a way that leads you to have nachat ruach and be content and be satisfied, that's the good type of simcha. But simcha rabba, where it leads you to things where you connect with schok and things like that, that's where simcha becomes problematic. So it's not necessarily just like fixed word. It's very, flexible.
Right. I think it's worth just calling it simcha for now rather than attachment. Any thoughts, Ian? Okay. Watch now as we move to Yom Tov. Right, we've been at the beginning of Mishnah Torah, just general advice for life. Now, I mean, leaving aside sort of individual moments in a person's life, weddings, births, etc., in terms of the Jewish calendar, think immediately of Yom Tov as the time of Simcha. What's the Rambam going to do? So, Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Vav. The Rambam begins by telling us the days of the year, which are Yamim Tovim, right? 7 days of Pesach, 8 days of Sukkot, etc. All of these days are Surim Behesped V'Ta'anit. Interesting, he starts off with a negative, right? You're forbidden from eulogies and from fasting. V'chayav Adam Liyot Behen Sameach, and obligated to be joyful, v'tov lev, and of good heart, you and the whole household. Okay? Then he quotes the verse with which we started, Shene'emar v'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice on your festival, which is a verse speaking about Sukkot, but nevertheless he's applying it to the whole of the festival. So he says, even though that's speaking specifically about the korbanot that were offered, nevertheless, yesh b'chlal oto simcha, included within that simcha, is the obligation, yismachu u'banav u'bnei b'to kol echad k'ro'i lo, each person. Okay? That's halacha yutzai. Halacha Yudchet is one which I have probably repeated more than any other halacha in the Rambam over the years in many, many different contexts. You might remember it from the back of the Matanot Levyonim cards this year, last year. The Rambam says, how so? How do you do it? Well, he says, it's sort of lovely in terms of the stereotypes, which were as true, are as true today as they were 800 years ago. Want to make women, want to make children happy, give them sweet things, no doubt it's true. Want to make women happy on Yom Tov. Buy them new clothes, buy them jewelry. Want to make men happy on Yom Tov, give them meat and wine, etc., etc. That is Simchat Yom Tov. Then he really, really pushes and goes much further and says, not only do you feed your own family, end of the second line, K'shuachel v'shoteh chayav la'achil la'ger li'atom la'almana, person is obligated to feed the stranger, the orphan, the widow, im shar ha'aniim ha'omlalim, with all other people in need. Aval mishu no'el delatot chatziro, somebody who locks the doors of his home. Va'ochel v'shotehu banav, just eats, drinks, he and his family. Ein ze simchat mitz, and doesn't feed those in need. Aniyim mare nefesh, bitter of spirit, right, it's not just a financial thing. Ein zu simchat mitzvah, this is not the joy of mitzvah. Ela simchat kreiso, it is the joy of his stomach. Right, this is, the Rambam's not quoting a Gemara here. He's going off on his own piece, right? And this is a disgrace, this sort of simcha, al-elu ne'amal, these sorts of people. It's said, you know, God says, I throw back your offerings and the dung of your festival offerings in your face, right? This is really, really harif. In other words, simcha has the possibility to go in a very negative direction. Certainly, when, you know, what the Rambam is warning us against is using the religion as an excuse just to simply, you know, have a great time ourselves, whereas really it's that the celebration that we have ourselves is embedded within the context of helping, of celebrating with others, especially those who are really in need of something. Right? I love this piece so much. It's so strong. It's so really true there. And also it's such a, obviously the Rambam felt the need to say it 800 years ago, and it's as relevant today as it was then. I remember a rabbi, the rabbi of my shul back in the UK giving a drasha, which he got a lot of stick for afterwards, but he got a lot of stick for it because it was so true. He said, you know, in our community there are many people, many families who are great friends with one another and who are always inviting one another round, and that's a wonderful thing, and it's a great thing that a community has that. But don't think that's what Hachnasat Orchim is, right? Hachnasat Orchim is not inviting your friends round for Shabbat lunch, who are then going to invite you back 3 weeks later, right? That is not what Abraham was doing, sitting outside of his tent, right, looking for the neighbours to see you know, who they hadn't had for a little while. Hachnasat Orchim, and so too, Simcha on Yom Tov, is specifically looking for those who are in need of it, okay? It's not our topic, but if we're passing by, then always have to mention it. Halacha Yudtet, says the Rambam, even though achila v'shtiyah b'moadot bichlal mitzvat aseh, eating and drinking
way in which we celebrate is a positive commandment on the festivals. Nevertheless, lo yeh ochel v'shoteh kol hayom kulo. Right? This is not a mitzvah about which we say, harizeh m'shubach, the more you do, the better. Eat, drink all day, and wow, you really did it. And he says the way in which the day goes, start with shul in the morning, come back home, do a bit of learning, have your meal within that. Okay? It lives in the simcha lives within a specific part of the day. Now here comes the really interesting halacha, and watch just the way in which the Rambam takes his philosophy in Hilchot Deot, which we have discussed, and just applies it to Yom Tov. He Hilchot Deotizes the idea of Simcha on Yom Tov. K'sha'adam ochel v'shoteh v'sameach v'rega, right, the final source in this section, when a person eats, drinks, celebrates on the festival, lo yamshich b'yayin u'b'schok u'b'kalut rosh, shouldn't, no, drink a huge amount and really become schok, you know, frivolous, kalut rosh, light-headed, v'oyomar, and say, shekol mi sheyosif b'zeh, everybody who drinks more, everybody who eats more, yarbeh b'mitzvot simcha, is doing more and more of the mitzvah. Sh'asichrut v'aschok, because this sort of, you know, levity, harbeh b'kalut rosh, ein o simcha, this isn't simcha, this isn't joy. Ela holilut. It's
holilus.
Sorry?
It's a holilus.
Holilus. It's frivolity, sichlut, foolishness. Balonitz tevum al halilut v'asichlut. That's not what we have been commanded. Ela al hasimcha, we've been commanded simcha. Sheyesh bo avadat yotzer, which contains within it serving of Hashem, right? Simcha of serving Hashem is not kalut rosh, it's not halelut, it's measured, it's contained, it's done seriously. Simcha is a serious business. Shne'emar, as is said. Now pay careful attention to this. I should have put that overall context, right? But this comes at the end of Devarim, right? The Tochacha. Bad things are going to happen to you. Why tachat asher lo abadta et Hashem lokecha besimcha ubetov levav? Since you did not serve Hashem with simcha ubetov levav, with joy, how's he then going to read that verse? Halamadata, what do you see from here? Shaha avoda besimcha, that you are to serve God with simcha. V'yefshar la'avod et Hashem lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalut rosh. And service of God is not done through lightheadedness, is not done through frivolity, is not done through drinking yourself into a stupor. That is not what simcha is. Therefore, that's his reading of the verse. Punishments will come to you. Tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem elokecha besimcha. Since you didn't serve God, simcha as this middle, moderated, sensible path of joy.
How do yeshivas, like in Israel, adjust? You know how it's like the culture where it's like, oh, everyone in their Israel yeshiva gets blackout drunk with their rabbis. Like, how is that justified?
Yeah, it's only for us.
One part of the answer, to give a positive answer to the question, is to say wait for the end of the shiur. Another answer is to say, as in, I don't know what they're doing. And I think that is part of the answer. I don't think the Rambam would be particularly pleased about it. So everyone sees the way in which the Rambam has basically taken his view of simcha in general daily life. You know, I really like, even if we're going to not call it anything, I really like Jackie's phrase, contentedness, right? This moderated, definitely not going to any extremes, and basically applies it to the way in which simcha should be on Yom Tov. Want to say something? Watch now. We've done general life. We've done Yom Tov in general. What happens when we get to Sukkot, right? And the specific, like, Sukkot is the locus of this idea of joy. Says the Rambam, Perek Chet of Hilchot Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav, Halacha Yudbat. Af al pi shekol ha'mo'adot mitzvot lismoach b'chem. Even though all of the festivals, it's a mitzvah to rejoice. B'chag ha'sukkot, on Sukkot, hayta sham b'mikdash simcha yetera. There was a great abundance of joy, more than usual. Shne'emar v'samachtim l'fnei Hashem elokichem, shivat yamin. For 7 days in the mikdash l'fnei Hashem, you would celebrate. V'ketzad, how so? Well, he talks about the first night, etc., etc., everybody celebrating after the korbanot. Halach yud gimel. V'heya chayta simcha zu. What was this simcha like? Hachalil, the flute, makam, manganin, bekinora, they'd play flutes, they'd play the harp, ubenavalim, etzalotam, cymbals, etc. Kol echad ve'echad b'kli shir shehu yodel. And again, if you know a certain instrument, then that is what you would, that is what the person would play with. People would rock din, would dance, and mesapkin, and clap their hands, metapkin, mekarachin, jumping around. All sorts of different. Each one as they would know. People would sing songs, etc., etc. Doesn't override Shabbat. This simcha halacha yud dalad. Mitzvah lahalbot the simchas. The more you do of this simcha, the better. Don't let just anybody do it. Right? This isn't like an allowance for like the common people who just need to go crazy at some point in the year, right? No. Ela gedolei chachmei Yisrael b'roshei ha-yeshivot, right? The people who are seen as, you know, the greatest figures within the religious life, ba-sanhedrin, ba-chassidim, ba-zakenim, these real people, they're the ones who are merakdin and masapkin, they're the ones who are, you know, really jumping, cavorting, dancing, and masamchim b'mikdash, etc., etc. And everybody else watches. Right, and enjoys the spectacle. And now he seems to broaden this out. And he seems at this point to move from just speaking about Sukkot to speaking about life in general. Hasimcha, the joy, sheyismach adam, that a person should celebrate, ba'asiyat ha-mitzvah, when they are doing mitzvot, ubahavat ha'el, and in their love of God, shetziva bahen, who has commanded them, avodah gdolahi, is a great act, of worship, v'kol hamoneya atzmo, and anybody who holds themselves back from this, misimchazu, from this rejoicing, anybody who says, no, I shouldn't rejoice too much, I shouldn't really get into it, ra'ui lipareya mimen, is going to pay for it. And if it's sounding a bit different to what we've read until now, then watch this, and watch just how this is really going to be problematic. What's his proof text? What's his verse that proves this, that nobody should hold themselves back from simcha? Tachat asher lo avat atet Hashem Elokecha b'simchat u'betov levav. Since you didn't serve God through simcha, through good gladness of heart, therefore these bad things are going to come upon you. In other words, the very same verse which in the previous section talking about Yom Tov in general was used to say simcha is not something which should be an extreme emotion. It's not something which you should go crazy with. Rather, it's this moderated, middle, normal, considered expression is now being used as the opposite to say, since you didn't really throw yourself into this idea of simcha, since you didn't really understand how significant this is, therefore, if you didn't serve God through simcha, that's not good. To anyone who lowers themselves, who thinks this is a way of getting honor themselves, and they're proclaiming their own joyfulness and makes a gift of their own dancing to talk about Simchat Torah, that's it's about that. True, right? That such a person is choteh v'shoteh, a sinner and an idiot, right? Rather, kol hamashbil atzmo, it's about lowering yourself, right? To kvakel b'gufo, right? To show really the honor deserving of Hashem. David HaMelech is the paragon of this famous dialogue with Michal, his wife, who'd said that wasn't the way in which she should be celebrating. He said, no, truly my way is to cavort, to celebrate, to jump, and that is exactly what a king should do, to lower himself in order to show the greatness of the celebration. What has just happened? The Rambam in Hilchot Deot and the Rambam in Hilchot Yom Tov saw Simcha as a moderated middle path, not one extreme, not the other extreme. But when it comes to Sukkot, and not only Sukkot, and I think, if you'll agree with me, I think that Halacha Tetvav expands it to well beyond just Sukkot. The simcha that a person should feel, ba'asiyat ha-mitzvah, ba'ahavat ha'el, doesn't say on Sukkot, so it's in general, is a huge thing.
I think you're not looking at nuances, though. Meaning, when we were
quickly just defend myself to say that one will consciously ignore nuance in posing a question in order to pay attention to nuance in the answer. But yes, go on.
a better way for me to put that is that I think you were purposefully glossing over some pertinent details in order to pose this question. In that, when we were talking about simcha for the first half, we were talking about simcha in terms of, like, when you get a pay raise, or when, like, this really good thing or this really bad thing happens to you in your, like, mundane material life, like, you need to chill and, like, understand, like, its place in your life and its significance in your life. Whereas here, we're talking specifically about, like, in doing mitzvot and in worshiping God, which is, like, a different context in which, like, not saying, oh, wait to see how, like, your life plays out before you decide if you're going to have simcha about God.
That's a perfectly reasonable distinction and explanation when comparing these halachot to the ones in Hilchot Deot.
Yeah.
But we also read in Hilchot Yom Tov that the Rambam basically applies that middle path approach to simcha that he took in Hilchot Deot to Hilchot Yom Tov. And he says, halacha kaf in the previous stage, don't think you should go crazy with this, right? Now, admittedly, he's not saying kalut rosh and holelut, this lightheadedness and this levity, is what you should be aiming for. He never will say that. But we've certainly left well behind the idea of simcha as this moderated middle path thing. And he uses the exact same verse to make two different points. Any other suggestions, solutions?
But the verse that he uses twice in two different ways, it's kind of like two sides of the same coin, I feel like. Where the first time he uses it...
What is the verse in Devarim is saying, since you didn't deserve God for simcha, therefore such and such bad things are going to happen to you. The first time he uses it, he says, b'simcha, you should have served God, and not b'kalut rosh, not with levity, not with the lightheadedness.
Yes.
Should have been moderated. Second time he uses it is, you should have served God b'simcha, you should have really enjoyed it. Come in, Nina, you should have really... Yes, it's toward the end of a shiur.
No, I actually need to break, as I have a lot of stuff. But...
Okay, well, a croissant always helps. In the second one, it's, you should have been much more serious about it. You should have really thrown yourself into it.
Yeah, I still don't get the distinction between how the two different places use the same verse.
In the red.
Yeah.
It's the same verse.
Yeah.
Right?
But I don't,
the first time, it's used to be in contrast to levity, lightheadedness, frivolity. What is the opposite of that?
Wait, but how is it in contrast to it?
Tachat, since you didn't serve God in such and such a way, therefore bad things are going to happen.
But isn't that saying that if you haven't served God in simcha, bad things are going to happen to you? Isn't that just a major source to serve everything in simcha? I don't get it.
Yes, but what is the simcha that is being spoken about? In the first half, in the first case, this one, it's simcha, meaning simcha as a moderate, middle path, not crazy, not over the top. But in the second one, it's simcha as... you should have thrown yourself into it. You shouldn't have. Right? How does he introduce the second time he brings it? He says, anybody who holds themselves back from this simcha, anybody who refrains from it somewhat, from this great act, having just been speaking about Sukkot and throwing yourself into it in a true fashion, then bad things happen. Pinchas, any solutions? You admit the tension?
Not at the moment.
Oh, you don't admit the tension?
I see the tension. I'm not yet sure if I could come up with an answer. So.
Okay, so. Let me share Rav Shagara's answer. I think that this could well be the sort of question within the Rambam to which there are multiple answers. And Jackie, I think it is a real question, right? I think he's given a very different presentation of what the role of simcha should be in a person's life and in avodat Hashem in Hilchot Sukkah, and he's not just speaking about Sukkot, from what he has given in other areas of Mishnah Torah. So Rav Shagara's suggestion is to go all the way back to the beginning of Hilchot Deot, which you'll see on the third page. Well, the Rambam actually introduces two prototypes, two ways of being in the world. And the first one that he speaks about, and this is the well-known Rambam approach to life, is the middle path. The person who, when it comes to every single personality trait, takes that middle path and says, I'm not going to be an extreme one here, and I'm not going to be an extreme one here. Such a person the Rambam calls the Chacham. But there is also somebody who the Rambam calls the Chassid. Who is the Chassid? The Chassid is somebody who thinks that actually they are more in danger of swinging to one side than to another side. They are not equally attracted to both ends of a certain spectrum. And so if they would only put themselves in the middle, well, that's not enough of an act against their inclination in a certain direction that they need.
They need to overcompensate.
Sorry?
They need to overcompensate.
Very good. They overcompensate. They don't choose the equal distance between the two extremes. Rather, they choose the greater distance from the extreme that they are more concerned about. You get it? So, I mean, just read it. Halacha hey. After having discussed the middle path in Halacha Dalet, which was the Halacha that we opened with, Mishahu Madakdek al Atzmo Biyoter, somebody who's really scrupulous about themselves and their personality, V'yitrachek Mideya Beinunit Me'ad L'tzad Zeh or L'tzad Zeh, and moves to not the middle, but to closer to one extreme than another, Nikra Chassid, is called pious. Ketzad, how so? Mishi Yitrachek Migova Halev, somebody who's really worried about their arrogance, therefore goes ad hakatzeha acharon, to the opposite extreme, v'yesh shafel ruach biyotel, to be truly downcast about their own abilities, nikra chassid, v'zuhi midat chassidut. And so, I think Rav Shigar says this, I can't remember, I think this is really what I think makes a lot of sense. Whether or not the Rambam means it directly, I think it contains a lot of truth to it. I don't think the Rambam is necessarily talking about two different people. But I think that within each person, there can and there should be an element of both Chacham and Chassid. That overall, the Rambam's general approach is to say to aim for a moderation and aim for a middle path. However, there are times in a person's life where it's very praiseworthy and advisable to take a realistic look at oneself and to say, I'm more in danger of going to one extreme than another, and to overcompensate in a positive way, lifnim mishurat hadin, or beyond the letter of the law. And so I think that's what we've got here as a whole in terms of simcha within Mishneh Torah. That unless this simcha, this moderated simcha, this middle path simcha, which the Rambam generally champions, actually becomes something which lacks passion, lacks true devotion and experience when it comes to servicing God, lest that happens, it's important for the Rambam at a certain point in Hilchot Sukkah to speak about Simcha not from the point of view of the Chacham, not from the point of view of the moderated middle path, but actually rather to speak about it from the point of view of really taking it very seriously, of true joyfulness, of real celebration, of understanding that joy at the service of God is not something like, oh yeah, not too much, not too little, just in the middle, but really is an emotion that overtakes you. And if you've got that at one place, then hopefully that the middle path is actually not sort of like a lukewarm middle, not like a weak middle, but is actually, I think I coined this phrase a few years ago for this exact sort of question in the Rambam, it's a position in the extreme center, right? You take to distance yourself from two extremes isn't, say, to not be passionate about what it is you're concerned about. I really think this is true advice for life. But to say, I'm going to be a member of the extreme center, I'm going to combine both extremes in that I see their value, and I'm going to be truly passionate in my moderation of it. And I'm not going to let just the people who are extremists say, we're the ones who take these values seriously. Rather, I see a multiplicity of values, and I take them all seriously, and I truly express that. So with that, may we have a life filled with simcha, a chag filled with simcha, and a sukkot filled with simcha.
Amen.